So this little excerpt is actually in America, and this is Parrot telling the story now. A slightly unexpected thing has happened, and when confronted with the fearful mob, which we know that Olivier has been rather concerned about, Olivier has drawn a pistol, which we didn't really know he had, and certainly Parrot didn't know he had, and shot someone in the arm. And as a result of this particular event, it's been Parrot, and not Olivier, the French aristocrat, who's been carted off to prison, to the what's called, and still is in New York to this day, the Tombs. So I got copped on account of Lord Migraine's pistol shot, not by the police, but by the Night Watch, which is the local name for a pair of butchers in fancy dress. These clowns took possession of the weapon and announced they would put me in the Tombs, by which I understood a cemetery, although it was soon revealed to be the type of advanced American machine his lordship had been sent to study. It was a windowless, sooty dungeon on Centre Street. With the kings all dead and buried, who would build so vile a thing? When told that the prison got its morbid name from all the poor wretches who hanged themselves inside its walls, I wished never to go inside, but once I'd endured the cold cobbles of Centre Street, I was finally eager for a cell. The night watch gathered like witches around a brazier and amused themselves by tossing me a fatty sausage from time to time. The smell of grilling meats was torture, as they surely intended, but I was not a dog and would not act like one. Somewhere before dawn, an American juggernaut rolled into the street, and as the near-side horse did its business at my feet, a small, stoop man descended from the carriage. I had been expecting a magistrate, but his round-shouldered, put-upon demeanour suggested a grocer's clerk, crushed by the sentence of his dreary occupation. The night watch got quiet, but otherwise left the new man to his business, which was to unlock the door to the right-hand side of the jail entrance. When he was gone inside, the night watch began to break their fire apart, and one of them departed to the pump for water. Finally, the fastenings of the Tombs jarred and rattled, and an awful door leered open on its hinges. From that dark portal came forth 10 prisoners, a very sad and pretty girl among them, and they were led in through the smaller door, presumably to stand before the man who had stepped down from the coach. I expected I would then be included in their company, and I would then explain the simple fact that it was the French lord who had fired the gun, and I was nothing but his servant. Instead, I was marched into the prison and left in charge of a warder, a tall, well-made man with a handsome face, dead blue eyes, and a single frown mark as dark as charcoal right above his nose. Any gentleman with a good library, even Monsieur, would recognize immediately that I had been brought inside the dark brain of Piranesi, who, being denied a career as an architect, used his Buren to construct those dark satanic prisons which are known as carceri. The warder informed me I'd arrived too late for this morning's court sessions, and I would do myself no favours by arguing the toss. He brought me deeper inside the deep, narrow machine. Piranesi's spike wheels were nowhere to be seen, but who would need them when a prisoner's nostrils were tortured with the vile, tarry smell I've since learned to call creosote? But I knew pretty well. Piranesi's spiked wheels were nowhere to be seen, but who would need them when a prisoner's nostrils were tortured with the vile, tarry smell I have since learned to call creosote, but I knew pretty well as the smell of death and coffin wood. When I smell woodbine, I'm once again 6 years old, standing in a field with my da. One whiff of creosote, and I'm in the New York Tombs, and everything is suffocating hot because the contractor of firewood is a friend of someone who is a friend of someone who is no friend of the poor souls who suffer in this oven, whose high glass skylights are coated with dreary yellow tar. From this dim, dark place hung two wind sails, limp, useless. There were galleries of cells, one above the other, stairs at each end, and in the middle, between the two sides of each gallery, were bridges. And on these bridges sat guards, variously dozing or reading or talking. At the very bottom of this space, directly in front of me, as I entered, was the gibbet. If I had not been thoroughly frightened by then, I was now. Although every suicide inside the Tombs was politely hidden from the civilization outside its walls, this gibbet was inside of every cell. Outside on the street, the citizens were innocent and kind, with the luxury of being distressed by copulating pigs. But here, the chill of legal murder was in the air I breathed.